Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring. And when we started doing these podcasts, we had two goals in mind. One was to be of service to our community, and the other was to be sort of a marketing agent, so people who didn't live here would get exposed and maybe find that this would be a good place for them to consider moving to. We've gone a lot of different directions, and I'm happy to say that the last couple of podcasts have really been focused on the service area. Last time, we interviewed a lady that did a dog sanctuary, and this week, we are interviewing Shannon Shea. Shannon is the founding executive director of Elder Love. Elder Love is a nonprofit organization providing low-cost in-home care for older adults. Shannon, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
Great. So we'll talk about Elder Love in a minute, but the audience would like to know a little bit about you before we get started. So where are you from, and how did you get interested in gerontology?
Yes, I'm from Wisconsin. I was born in Wisconsin back in the 70s. We won't say when exactly. And when I was two, we moved out here to California. So I've been here basically my whole life. I wouldn't say I was a Wisconsin person, probably a California girl. Lived in Orange County up until the last year or so when I moved me and my parents to Big Bear, California, up here in the beautiful San Bernardino Mountains. But we're still in Southern California. My whole life, I was in sales. I sold greeting cards for about 20 years, both inside and outside sales for greeting cards. And I remember I was in Las Vegas, which was part of my territory, and I had just sold a big 10-store chain. And I got back to my hotel room, and I felt nothing. I just felt like I hadn't done anything. I hadn't changed any lives. All the juice was out of the sale. And I just realized, I was in my early 40s, I just realized I wasn't doing anything of value. No one was going to care if I sold them a greeting card rack. And that was when I started really looking at what I enjoyed. And I've always had a passion for older adults. It's a longstanding joke amongst my friends that I will find an older adult within 50 feet of me and make a point to go talk to them. And that is absolutely true. And so I decided to take that passion and start focusing on a career in gerontology. So first, I got my bachelor's degree from Brandman's Division of Chapman University in Irvine in gerontological social work. And then I went on to get my master's degree from LSU in Louisiana State online. So now I have my master's degree in gerontology. And when I was doing my bachelor's internship at the Huntington Beach Senior Center, I was in the case management division, and I had an opportunity to go into people's homes and to see what services and kind of what services and connections and resources we could connect them to. And everything was based on their income. And many, many resources were for below the poverty line, which is very low. It's about $1,250 a month for an individual and about $1,666 a month for a couple. So most people make more than that a month. So I had to turn away a lot of people that had no money. I had to turn them away from services, and it just broke my heart. And I knew that there had to be a better way. A lot of these folks were alone. Their family was gone, or they never had a family. And they just needed a little extra help around the house. And so that's where Elder Love was born. I decided that there could be a better way. And so I founded this nonprofit to help those older adults.
Wow. And what a great story. And so just so we get focused, describe your typical client.
So my typical client, she's female. She's over the age of 80. She lives alone. She may or may not have had children. They may have moved away, or they may be unable to help her. She typically brings in about $1,400 a month between Social Security and pensions, which puts her above the mark for IHSS, which is free in-home care from the county. And she doesn't need nursing home care. She doesn't need assisted living, but she's finding it increasingly difficult to get around, to get to the store, to get all of her medications, to change the sheets, to vacuum, to clean the toilets, all those things we don't want to do anyway. But now they're becoming increasingly difficult for her to do. And if she doesn't have that little bit of help at home that she needs, then there can be a cascading of that. Things can fall. We can make trip hazards. We can have cleanliness issues that kind of snowball out of control. And now her only resource when something happens is calling 911. And that can be very costly to her and to the community at large.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I you know, we have 7,000 residents here at Sun City Shadow Hills. And I think we likely have a lot of people who would fall within this demographic. Speaking of potential clients, I was surprised to see that John McCain's mother attended his funeral today. She's 96 years old, and it caused me to think that many, you know, there could be residents here who have parents who could benefit from Shannon's service. So, Shannon, how might that work?
Well, you're absolutely right. 9 times out of 10, I'm never contacted by the end client, by the person that needs the care. It's usually the son or daughter, the 40 to 60-year-old son or daughter that's looking for help with mom and dad, or even grandma, grandpa. So usually who I try to reach out to with our marketing and getting the word out in the community is to that age group, those folks that are raising their own kids, having to deal with the parents as well. It's a very stressful situation that they kind of get sandwiched in between.
So describe what kind of care you can provide them.
So we do a little bit more than your typical for-profit caregiving company. Your typical for-profit caregiving company, and obviously I won't list their names, they won't help out with what most adults I work with that I find that they need, and that is housekeeping. That is like keeping the house clean and vacuuming and shopping and errand running. They won't do those things. They will do your caregiving, as in bathing you, helping you get dressed, and making you something to eat, which we do as well. But they don't have that added cleaning component, which is a big, big bonus of what we offer, because that's about 80% of what our clients are really looking for, housekeeping.
Wow. And where do you find the people to do the work?
So we have a variety of sources. Some of our best caregivers come through word of mouth, because caregivers usually know other caregivers. They work together in hospital settings, rehabs, nursing homes. So they are my best resource because they can really vouch for someone. Other than word of mouth, we also use a website called care.com. You may have seen their commercials on TV. All those folks are pre-qualified, their background check, sex offender registry, all of that. In addition to that, we also use Indeed, which is like a monster or other employment kind of looking for people. Everybody has to go through an additional background check with the state of California, and they have to register with the state of California as a home care aide. That includes them getting fingerprinted to make sure that there's nothing in their background that might make somebody nervous, especially us. You know, my worst nightmare would be to hire somebody that did anything inappropriate with one of my clients.
Mm-hmm. And why would one of these workers choose to work with you as opposed to a hospital or a for-profit nursing center?
Well, I'd like to say it's because we're the best company, but I think it probably all comes down to pay. As a former worker bee myself, I understand and I remember what it was to be an employee. I also was a caregiver myself for a brief time, and I was a live-in caregiver. So I come from that perspective, and I know what they value. I make sure that they understand that they are the reason we exist. Without them, we would not. I pay very well, even though we are a nonprofit. I do pay at least $2 to $3 more than the minimum wage. Mm. And that is $2 to $3 more than they can get anywhere else.
Okay.
Because most caregivers are paid minimum wage, and I'm pretty sure that if they could get away with it, they would pay them less. They're just not valued. And even to me, paying them $2 to $3 more than minimum wage is extremely offensive, because these are people's loved ones. These are grandparents. These are parents. These are friends. This is family. And you are dealing with them in an intimate environment. You're bathing them. You're caring for them. They're vulnerable. This is a job that takes a special kind of personality, a special caring heart. They deserve a lot more money than
Boy, that's for
wage.
Sure. I they are angels on this
yes.
planet, and God bless them. So, how do the finances work? If someone employs uses you as opposed to a for-profit service, what's the difference in cost?
So there's a slight difference. Right now, there's less of a difference in cost than I would prefer. Right now, we will be 1 year old next month. Once we get some more time under our belt and we are more well-known and we have more fundraising events, we will have more money in our kitty to be able to drop our rate even further. My goal is to get our rate to be $10 an hour to the client and have the balance of what it costs per hour to be paid for through foundational grants, fundraising events, and that kind of thing. Right now, what separates us is we are lower per hour than those for-profit companies. We have no minimums. So a lot of these for-profit companies, you will call them, and they will require that you bring a caregiver in for at least 4 hours a day. And they might even say you need to come 3 to 4 times a week. And then they'll also say, for the next 12 weeks, sign here.
Mm-hmm.
So we have none of that. You want us for 1 hour, one time, just to see if you like it, we're there. We have no minimums, no long-term contracts, nothing.
Okay. And what do people pay you per hour versus what they pay for-profit agencies here in the Coachella Valley?
Right. So in the Coachella, well, everywhere, but particularly in the Coachella Valley, most for-profit companies are based on a structure of care. So if you need just visiting, you might pay $30 an hour. But if you want bathing or you need changing or any extra help that you might need, it starts to get up to $45 and more per hour. We are a flat rate no matter what you need. We are $22 an hour right now.
Okay.
So if you need bathing, transferring, feeding, errand running, companionship, vacuuming, everything. No matter what, $22 an hour. Let's say you hire us now, you just need us to help around the house. But 3 years from now, you need more and more care. Same price, same price.
Wow. Well, that's quite a difference. And so tell us how do you get your money? How to pay the workers? You're paying more and you're charging less. And so
right.
Talk about that a bit.
Well, a lot of it started with my savings. Like I said, we're ramping up. So we're having a golf fundraiser in a week up here in Big Bear Lake. That will help offset the costs. We have a lot of corporate sponsorships that help keep us afloat. We're always looking for businesses and like-minded corporations that want to contribute and help. As we grow those corporate sponsorships and have more individual donors, we're able to help even more people and drop our rate even further.
I see. And what counties are you operating in now?
We operate right now in all of San Bernardino County and all of Riverside County, but we can operate anywhere in the state of California. If you have a loved one that lives in Sacramento or San Diego, as long as they don't need care the next day and I have some time to find some quality candidates, we can help you anywhere in the state of California.
Okay, that's interesting, because a lot of our residents here, you know, very well may know needy people who don't live here.
Right.
And so it's nice that that you can potentially help them out. So if people are interested, how will they find you?
Well, we have a beautiful website. It's always being updated. It's called elderloveusa.org. You can also call me, email me. All the phone numbers are on the website. I'm assuming if they're listening to a podcast, your listeners are pretty computer savvy.
Okay. And, you know, they and people can who are residents here can always contact us at podcasts@suncityshadowhills.com, and we will get you in touch with Shannon. So if it strikes a chord with and someone would like to be a beneficiary, where can they go to donate money?
The same website, elderloveusa.org, or they could reach out to you to connect them to us. They can call us. They can email us. We'd love to have donors. You know, it doesn't take much. One of the things I always say is I would love to get 100 people that donated $10 a month. Yeah. Or $5 a month. It wouldn't be anything to you. It wouldn't impact you individually, but it would have a huge impact on the back end.
Yeah,
so
and that's
get
true.
A lot of people to just do $5 or $10, we would be all set.
Yeah, I recall an interview with Jeff Bezos saying that the new model is gone from getting a few people to pay a lot of money for a subscription to getting a lot of people to pay a little bit of money. And this certainly falls in that. And so it's wonderful if people want to write you a check, but if they were to become an ongoing subscriber, that would be preferable, right?
That would be preferable, because what happens when you have that base that you can kind of rely on? I mean, I understand people will stop and start as needed, but when you kind of can project, okay, we have this much we know is coming in next month, and the next 6 months, and the next 12 months. That's when I can then start dropping my rate to individuals and start sponsoring individual people. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to be updating my website so that I will actually show, without disclosing any personal information so that they can be identified, the different clients that we have that people could sponsor if they felt connected to that particular case.
Oh, that's nice.
So
that's a good idea.
To be more personal, they could say, I would like to sponsor Mary's care for 7 hours or 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And then they would know, and then Mary would know that they sponsored them, and they could build a relationship even if they wanted to.
Okay. Well, this is a wonderful idea, and wish you all the best. Did I miss anything? Is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't think to?
No, I don't think so. It's not a real complicated model. It's just completely new and different. It's a new and different way of looking at how we're going to take care of our older adults who worked hard their whole life and managed to land in the middle class and just don't have that discretionary income that is required. And the for-profit companies, I mean, we all need them. Thank goodness they're here, but they're very expensive. Mm-hmm. And so I knew there had to be a better way, and so that's why this was born. So hopefully it'll be successful. The goal is to take it nationwide. Right now we operate in the state of California without any more paperwork, but it's just a few pieces of paper and some money to get into different states as well.
By the way, how does the regulation work and it of this?
It's heavily regulated, particularly in the state of California.
I see.
Yeah, which is good. You want it to be heavily regulated. It's just unfortunate that it also comes with, you know, okay, you need this form and you need this license and hand us all this money. In the state of California, it's $5,000 every 2 years for your home care license, just to have the number. There's nothing else. It's just $5,000. I remember talking to the guy in Sacramento saying, do you know how many people I could help with $5,000 and I'm just supposed to hand it to you? And
yeah,
it's very frustrating.
Well, we all wish you the best of success. We've got 10,000 people a day turning 70 years old in this country alone. And so you're going to have a lot of potential clients down the road.
Yes, I certainly hope so. There's a lot of people that we can help that would otherwise not get any help. And that's what makes me sleep at night is I think about all the people that we've helped and that we are helping, and they would not have had any of that without Elder Love. It wouldn't have been able to be possible.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so thank you for sharing your story with us, Shannon. And Shadow Hills, the people who are most likely to need these services are probably not on the internet and probably not listening to this podcast. So if you know people, and the chances are you do, please tell them about this service. It's a wonderful idea, and it's available to people living right here in India. So, Shannon, thank you for your time. And for the audience, if you like this podcast, please tell a friend. That's how we're growing. And until next time, bye-bye.